Drinking at E3 is not a good idea.
It's a terrible idea.
So many things suck the next day.
You're already tired.
We're already tired to begin with.
Let's
amplify that.
Let's turn up
the knob. Let's drink till 2. No. We're here the day 2 of the full E3 press, or oh my god. That's why you don't drink. We can't even speak. Day 2 of E3, the convention. We did a podcast last night, of course. It got ruined.
Yeah.
We talked about some good stuff while it was still fresh in our minds and we weren't completely tired.
We also have a wrap-up video. We'll have that up at some point.
At some point. However, if that didn't register, that was somebody in the background going, grunting. But this is Attack of the Fanboy podcast number 36. Day one of E3 edition.
This is our day one wrap.
Day one on day two. Yeah, and it'll be up on during day two. But you may not be listening to it on day two. E3 is not as good as it was, Kyle.
Yeah.
It's hard to deny that.
It is. I mean, I don't know
that it's... This is different.
This one has some issues. I mean, I don't know that it's going to be a permanent thing. You know, EA and Activision backing out was... changed things a little bit. That haul, as you pointed out, is...
I can't... Just like, the people talking about it being money-related...
I don't know what it was.
I can't see that being the case, because they rented out that big ass...
Yeah, that had to cost a lot.
More money than the convention center, for sure.
They just wanted a couple of days to themselves, and honestly, I don't think that paid off. I think EA could be back next year.
Yeah.
Because I was in that place. You were in that
place. Yeah, there was no lines for some of the things.
Yeah,
like,
it was...
what are you doing?
People were lined up for Battlefield. Everything else was just ghost town. It was awkward. It was just, like, people were... kind of milling about and just... I don't know.
It was.
It was not E3 is no. The problem with EA.
It wasn't a bad little setup they had there, and they had some other stuff going on behind closed doors for, like, VIPs and stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, I saw, like, YouTubers, big websites back playing Battlefield in a private event, which we talked about yesterday.
Battlefield 1 would have had a line out the door if it was on the show floor.
Battlefield 3 did. Battlefield 4 did. Battlefield 1 obviously would have. It would be, and it's front and center. EA's front and center every year. It's the first thing you see when you walk into South Hall. It's not like that anymore. Like, South Hall looks kind of bare without Activision's giant movie screens of Call of Duty and EA's completely...
giant blue whatever.
Yeah, spotlights flashing on FIFA playing on the sides and Battlefield or whatever shooter they're promoting that year. It's just different. Without those two, because they're two of the biggest publishers out there.
Yeah.
And to not have that presence on the show floor of the South Hall makes it feel a little bit like a ghost town in
there. Yeah. And, I mean, traffic over there is pretty light. Resident Evil 7 is kind of a big draw.
Yeah.
But it's in such a specialized... You have to get, like, a ticket. It's not like you can just line up for it. So... which has been a thing. There's actually a lot more of that. Zelda is also, you have to get a ticket and then stand in line.
Well, the West Hall feels like it always does. It's packed. Everybody is over there because that's where Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo, Oculus, and some other things are over in that hall. And that's, you know, just where the action is this year. It's where the action is every year, but... more so this year because the other hall just feels so bare without those guys. But I don't know. I didn't do anything over there yesterday.
Over in South?
Yeah.
We actually spent most of our time over there.
You did.
Just due to where our appointments were. I was happy about it being a little emptier. Yeah. It was easier to get around. But, you know, if we talked before, I saw a few things and it just, I don't know, I didn't get a good, it wasn't a great day for me. Mm-hmm. Like, there was not much to see that, especially that I haven't seen already. Like, Final Fantasy 15 was in the Square Enix booth, but it's like, okay, there's been a demo out there. We've played, Final Fantasy 15 has been coming for so long. And Deus Ex, Mankind Divided, that's been just, you know, dragging out. This E3 is a lot of games, aside from Microsoft and Sony's booths, this E3 is a lot of games that we've been watching for a long time, waiting for a long time. So, you know, there's not that excitement.
You had no idea that Resident Evil was coming, Kyle, and you played
Resident Evil was huge. That is outside of everything I'm saying right now, because Resident Evil 7 was a massive surprise. They have a huge, awesome booth that is a recreation of the house from the demo, and it was a fantastic experience. I got to go in and play it on PlayStation VR, which was impressive once again. If you guys checked out my impressions video from PAX East, I was very surprised by how well PlayStation VR ran, how well the PS4 could do VR visuals, and this looked great. They even, like, prefaced it. She was like, you know, it's lower fidelity in the VR, you know, just want to let you know. And I'm like, it looked good.
Right.
I have a
they
vibe.
They do preface it. They continue to do that, but when you look, I think that works for them, because you look at it and you go, this looks pretty goddamn good.
It looks really good. I mean, I was like, my Vive at home is running off of a $1,500 computer with a GTX 970, and it looks about the same.
Yeah.
They're doing some kind of magic in that whatever that, which the box doesn't actually enhance the VR. That
it's just that
box.
They have the horsepower in the PlayStation 4 to pull it off.
Yeah.
Graphics card in there is where all the money was spent.
Yeah.
But, so you enjoyed that?
I enjoyed it very much. Yeah. The demo itself, I think, is really good. It's the same demo, you know, PlayStation Plus members are getting to try out, and I think everyone's enjoying it, finding the little secrets and all that.
Is it something kind of along the lines of, like, PT, where there's different things that people are finding in there?
Yep, exactly.
The further they go?
This is Resident Evil's PT. I think that they saw what happened with PT in Silent Hills, and they were like, we can do that too, because it's the same thing. Like, the demo is not an actual slice of the game.
Mm-hmm.
They came out and announced that. And there's all these little secrets. There's hidden things that you can find that point to previous Resident Evil games. You can get different endings, apparently. I obviously only got to see one. It seems to be the most common one because I've not seen any others. But yeah, it's Resident Evil's PT, and I couldn't be happier because losing Silent Hills is still hurting.
Yeah. I played through that thing one time, and it was like kind of scary. I don't like those kinds of games. Mm. PT, I mean. Not Resident Evil.
Yeah.
I haven't got a chance to try that. What else did you see?
Not a whole lot. We got to go to Bandai Namco. That was pretty cool. They were showing off Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2. You know, I'm not a huge Dragon Ball guy, so a lot of it just kind of went over my head, but it looked like a big improvement. They talked about, like, taking fan feedback and how they actually said they want players to enjoy this game for a year, so they are already promising free updates and all this sort of stuff. They're just like, we're going to keep you engaged for a year.
Hmm.
So, you know, the hub city, there's, if you check out the site, there's already stuff about, like, it runs at 60 FPS. The hub city was revealed, and, like, two characters were shown off. So that's looking pretty good. I got to check out Tekken 7. We played that the night before, actually, but they did a whole presentation and talked about, like, how Akuma works, and he's got very specialized stuff from his Street Fighter character, how this is, like, the conclusion of a long-running storyline if you follow Tekken's story. I have not played Tekken since Tekken Tag Tournament, but this looks like a really good, I don't know if it's a good place to jump in, at least for the story, because it's a conclusion, but for the game, I mean, it looks fantastic. It's running on Unreal Engine 4, which is a first for them.
Yeah, it did look and play really, really well.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's good.
I think a lot of the focus I mean, I think we both agreed that like this is the E3 where obviously VR is in people's homes. A lot of, and even speaking with like developers and stuff, they've all kind of echoed these sentiments that like this is the year we see a lot of really polished VR stuff. The games and the applications that are going to sell VR to the mass market. Like early adopters have already jumped in, like yourself.
Yep.
Now it's time to get people like myself who are a little bit on the fence about VR, whether it's something, whether it really is going to be a fad or whether it's going to be something that pulls you in and allows you to not just play games as experiences or little portions of them.
Yeah.
I know PlayStation VR was a huge presence on the floor in Sony's booth. I actually went to Oculus yesterday for an appointment with for their touch controllers. Saw a couple games that really kind of hit that point home as far as like full experiences. One was a third person brawler called Feral Wright. Had a lot of elements that you would find in a traditional third-person brawler game.
Which you've been saying for a long time that that's what you want out of VR, is like enhance the games that I already want
to
play.
Exactly. And allow me to do it in a way that's not going to make me feel sick. It's not going to... It's just going to be natural. Like, I know when we were recording this yesterday, I said precisely that I can't do it for that long. Like, I can't do the first-person walking around, getting disoriented VR experience. And
I think that's why a lot of those games are these shorter experiences. I think like half the games that I have are like wave shooters on my Vive, because that's what I'm doing. I'm like up and move. My watch tracks my steps, and it's always like, good job, how'd that walk do? Like, I'm exhausted.
You're getting there, Kyle. Your heart rate's up. Speaking of which, I also played The Climb, which in Oculus Touch was pretty fucking amazing. Like, the sensation of climbing when you're not actually climbing, your arms get tired because you're constantly pulling yourself up to these ledges, and it really does a good job of tricking your brain into thinking you're doing that while you're just standing there, giving you, you know, looking down at the ground, getting further away from you as you climb up this mountain. It is something else. I also played a game called Ripcoil, which is a kind of like a Pong air hockey type of virtual reality experience. You called it something like Tron Disc something.
Disc Wars.
That was probably the best thing I saw. I had a great time playing that.
That sounded fun.
It was very engaging. It felt very natural to catch this disc, but you're playing, it's a PvP game, so it's tethers you to the real world. You're talking shit to an opponent, and you're battling it out in this arena and throwing a disc back and forth. It's like Windjammers, if you've ever seen that.
Yeah. And I mean, I like that we're getting both of these experiences. We're getting, even just with like PlayStation is showing off, we're getting Resident Evil 7, a full game with VR, and we're getting the, you know, splintered experiences with like Farpoint as like a shooter.
Yeah, I think there still are people that are behind the curve on that, and it's like, this is Batman, and it's the Batman experience.
The Batman one.
It might not be like a traditional video game, but you know what? It starts coming together. When we were talking to that guy yesterday from the virtual reality company, the stuff that he was telling me that his company is doing sounds about probably like what that Batman thing is.
Yeah.
You know, it's an experience to put people in those worlds.
Yeah.
It might not be a brawling beat 'em up that you might be accustomed to from Rocksteady, but it is something that's going to give you that Batman experience. It's like Batman the Ride or something, you know?
Yeah.
Who knows what it is? We haven't seen any gameplay from it. I don't even know if it's out there on the internet yet. There are certainly people playing it at the show, but they're keeping that a secret.
It's weird, yeah. It's on the show floor, and they have TVs, but they just have
just
Batman
not hooked
on
up
them,
to Batman. So. They're like turned around, so like no one can see it.
Yeah, I don't know what they're hiding something.
Yeah, I don't know.
You have a PlayStation VR appointment, what, tomorrow?
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be Batman, though.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think As we head into day two, I'm going to see some hardware.
Yeah.
Mostly. I've got see a lot some of PCs.
Game appointments that I can't think of right now, but yeah, we have a full day today. I'm going to see the new Batman Telltale game that I'm excited about. And I've got an Oculus appointment later today for some different games. So we'll see what those are. We can compare notes.
Yeah, you'll not like it. You just don't like it.
I think
it.
I will. No, I think I will. I want to see the touch. I want to see how it works compared to the Vive. I mean, Oculus isn't a bad piece of hardware. It's just the decisions of the company behind it that I have a problem with. So I mean, it's actually a better designed headset. It's more comfortable and all that. So we'll see. You know, I'm open to being sold by Oculus. I just want them to stop.
You
being.
Rebuy an Oculus?
No. I would prefer that they let me play their games. I want to play The Climb.
Yeah,
that's an Oculus exclusive.
You prefer that they let you play them on either?
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. Well, they got that marketplace, man. They're trying to...
I'll buy it from their marketplace. You know, that still gives them money.
So you want Valve to give up their end?
No. Valve's already open. Valve and HTC are completely open.
Of course they're open. You're buying everything from Steam.
Yeah.
We're open.
I mean, they're not going to change that. Make Oculus home, you know, where you buy the exclusive Oculus games to play on your Vive.
They need to come together, right?
Yeah.
Oculus and Valve.
They hate each other.
Who knows what's going on over there?
Yeah. But I think you said it. This is the year of E3. It was true at PAX East.
The year of VR?
Sorry, VR.
Yeah.
The year of VR. It was true at PAX East. It is true again at E3. The VR stuff is just
crazy.
It's
like it's not the year of VR. I think the year of VR was a couple of years ago for press, right? It's when you were all about it and no one really knew what it was. But now this is the year. Like, this is the important year.
Yeah.
That
it's selling
that you, they
it
already
masses.
Sold it to you guys.
Yeah.
Like, you were already sold on the idea of VR back then. You saw these proof of concept things, but it can't continue to be proof of concept. It has to be real-world applications that people want to go out and spend $50 or $40 on, because they certainly cost a lot to make.
But they're selling out. I mean, they're selling out everywhere. I think the PlayStation VR's pre-orders are sold out. So I think the general public is sold as well, and this is just them actually getting to try it.
Yeah.
They've just been chomping at the bit to just be able to try VR. They know that they want it, and now they're actually getting to... I know it's not really open to the public, but there's a lot of people here that haven't been able to try VR before. And it's also the year of Zelda. But
yeah, that's another thing. I mean, that is we can't skip talking about Zelda, Kyle. I mean, that was yesterday. That was probably the biggest announcement, irrespective of what was going on the show floor of
Zelda
E3. That was announced before the show started. And it seemed like it was well-received universally.
Yes, this is looking... I mean, I finally got to... Because, I mean, they do these video presentations. I can't watch them. I watched the one before the show, and it looked amazing. But I was like, what the hell are we seeing? And, you know, they went in later and detailed it, and it just seems like such a vast departure from Zelda, but in a good way. Like, it's a massive open world. Your weapons can break, you have different armor, you have to, like, craft, all this sort of stuff that we've seen in other games. Like, this isn't revolutionary stuff, but it's revolutionary to take it and put it into the Zelda series that is such a finely crafted adventure, and it's going to be interesting. I mean, there's no more of this, like, this pattern that we've had since Ocarina of Time, where you go to one dungeon, you get an item, you complete the dungeon, you go to the next dungeon, you use the item, all that sort of stuff. That's gone. It's all open world. Go wherever you want. Do whatever you want. And apparently it's freaking massive. The demo that they're showing here, I think they said is like 1% of the final landmass of the game. There's NPCs and villages. They aren't showing any of it because they don't want to spoil anything. It's looking like...
Yeah, so you want an open world RPG in the vein of like Skyrim or Fallout, but as Zelda. That
sounds. I mean, Skyrim, Zelda.
Sounds good to you?
Sounds ridiculously good.
Yeah.
That's just... I mean, just seeing the way Nintendo takes these ideas and puts them into Zelda. Zelda is an amazing series. They just do crazy things and finally craft this game. And they've delayed it and all this horrible stuff that gets us down, but they always do that to make it a better game. Ocarina of Time was delayed by years, and it was just like, it came out and people were like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
We'll see if they can do it again.
Yep. We will.
I will see that tomorrow, which will be Thursday, day 3.
Yep. And we'll be back with our day 2 impressions later today.
Yeah.
If you follow the iTunes feed or Google Play feed. There will be no drinking tonight. There will be no fuck-ups with the PC. We will attempt to get another podcast out the door this evening with our impressions for what we saw today at E3 2016. The stuff we talked about, for anyone who does listen to the podcast, these are opinions for the most part. Just want to put that out there.
I think everything that I said was an opinion.
Yeah. Mostly what I talk about are my opinions. So you can check out our site, attackofthefanboy.com, for all our E3 coverage, news, articles, impressions from stuff we've seen at the show floor. Later this week, we should also have some YouTube stuff up on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fanboyattack. For Kyle, I'm William, and thanks for listening.